We're going to be in 1 Thessalonians and chapter number 1 this evening. And we're dealing with Paul's knowledge of the Thessalonian believers' election. In verses 4 through 10, Paul rehearses a number of reasons he knew that the Thessalonian believers had been elected by God. The gospel came to them in word, in power, in the Holy Spirit, and in much assurance. As a result, they had become followers or imitators of Paul, and likely also of Silas and Timothy, and of the Lord. In spite of affliction, they received the message with joy of the Holy Spirit. As a result, they became examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. The word of the Lord sounded out from them wherever the news of their faith toward God had spread, and they turned to God from idols to serve the living God and to await Christ's return from heaven at the rapture. We begin with verse number 4, knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Knowing is modifying we give thanks from verse 2, and its time of action occurs at the same time as the action of we give thanks. It may be understood in the sense of because, since, or inasmuch as we know, or in the sense of while or when we know. Knowing is used in the sense of seeing, perceiving, or recognizing. Paul observed this for himself and concluded that the believers in Thessalonica were elect. Brethren, beloved is beloved brothers, cherished brothers, or dear brothers. And the tense of beloved indicates a settled condition. These believers had already been loved, and this love for them continued. It does for us too, you know. They were loved by God, as well as by Paul, Silas, Timothy, and other believers. Beloved is the sort of love which gives itself completely on behalf of another without expecting anything in return. It's expressed of God in John 3:16, Romans 5:8, and 1 John 4:10. For God so loved the world. Amazing, isn't it? This group of ungodly, unsaved people. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8. But God commendeth or demonstrated his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As the propitiation for our sins, Jesus has removed God's wrath from us. It had been directed against us as a result of our sins. What Paul knew was your election of God. Now, some people are bothered by dealing with the subject of election. But Paul wasn't, and we aren't going to be either, because here it is. Of God is by God in the Greek text, and it indicates direct agency. By God may be understood with beloved, so that it reads beloved by God. Of course, that's true. Or it may be understood with election as the King James translators have translated it. If by God is to be understood with beloved, then it is declaring that God loved them. Well, of course, regardless of whether by God is understood with beloved or with election, God loved them, as the scripture plainly indicates elsewhere. By God appears in the Greek text between beloved and election, and may be understood with either. Actually, both are true. The Thessalonian believers are beloved by God, and the Thessalonian believers are elected by God. The Greek text reads literally, now I've put commas in here which are not in the Greek text, knowing, brethren, beloved by God, the election of you, or knowing, brethren, beloved by God, your election. If by God is understood with election, then by God is placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, and God is the one who elected the Thessalonian believers. Now, God here is God the Father. He is God, he is deity, or he is divinity. Election means selection or choosing. God had chosen to send the gospel into Macedonia and then used the Macedonian vision to call Paul and his traveling companions there. God had directed their steps so that they would come to the town of Thessalonica, where they would proclaim the gospel and where people would be saved. Your could show possession, indicating that it was their election, or it could indicate the object of the verbal idea present in the term election. Thus, it is not only possible to understand it as your election, but also to understand it as the election of you. In either case, God is the one who chose or selected them. It does not mean that the Thessalonian believers elected or chose God, because of God is by God in the Greek text. The King James translators translated this word of, which indicates direct agency, in the sense of by. Of God means that they responded to God's choosing them by believing the gospel when it was proclaimed to them. Similarly, Paul wrote in 2 Thessalonians 2:13, "But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth." Paul also wrote in Ephesians 1:3-6, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Paul also wrote in Colossians 2, make that 3:12-13. "Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. That God has chosen some, but not all, for salvation is clearly stated in the New Testament. That both whosoever will may come, and that God holds each one responsible for his response to the gospel message, are also clearly stated. John 3:16 makes it very plain. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, some have mistakenly drawn the conclusion that since God has chosen some for salvation, he has chosen the rest for damnation, and there's nothing they can do about it. But the Bible does not teach this. Those who are cast into the lake of fire are cast in there because of their refusal to trust Christ as their Savior. The Bible teaches that God desires that all be saved. But this could not be true if God chose some for damnation. So that just disproves that thought that some are chosen for damnation. 1 Timothy 2:3-4 says, "For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Also 2 Peter 3:9 says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." The facts that God has chosen some for salvation, and that the invitation of whosoever will may come, are both true. Coupled with God's holding each person responsible for receiving Christ as his own personal Savior, have sparked tremendous debate in Christian circles. Now, I want you to know, before I even read the next statement, although I have been accused of being a Calvinist, it is a lie. I am not and never have been a Calvinist. I do not believe in what is called a limited atonement. Christ died for everyone. They can all be saved if they will. I also do not believe, as the Calvinists believe, that being born again must come before faith. I believe the Bible teaches clearly that believing or faith comes before being born again. Understand, if you hear that I am a Calvinist, forget it. It is not true and never has been, but I have had my reputation tarnished by a certain individual who has gone around saying that. Okay? Just understand. It is my understanding that all three of these things are clearly taught in the New Testament, that God has chosen some for salvation, that whosoever will may come, and that everyone who will receive Christ as Savior will be saved, but everyone who rejects him will be lost, will be held responsible. Therefore, these three things do not in any way contradict each other. But the human mind is incapable of fully comprehending these truths. The believer will never fully comprehend the following truths this side of heaven. That's my belief. Oh, I know the Calvinists have it figured out and they think they are right. I think they're wrong. That God has chosen some, but not all, for salvation. That whosoever will may come. And that everyone will be held responsible for his acceptance or rejection of Christ as his Savior. I believe that believers should concern themselves with proclaiming the gospel to all or to everyone, and that believers should let God concern himself with taking care of election. Election is not my business. God will take care of his business, and we believers must take care of our business. Enough said on this subject. Paul and his traveling companions knew that the Thessalonian believers had been elected by God to salvation because of their reception of the gospel. He says, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake." As indicated by 4, verse 5 provides the reason for something. It may be connected with we give thanks in verse 2, or it may be connected with knowing in verse 4. 4 is the word ordinarily translated because, and is to be understood in this sense in this verse as well. Our gospel is the good news that the Apostle Paul has been proclaiming. The good news of salvation in Jesus Christ in our refers to Paul, and it may include Silas and Timothy as well. Came not unto you in word only indicates how the gospel did not come to the Thessalonian believers. It did not come to them only in word or in word alone. Yet the gospel certainly came to them and they understood it. Word is speaking, statement, assertion, declaration, or speech. The gospel is not all talk, only is alone. And it indicates that the gospel was communicated to the Thessalonians by word of mouth, yet the gospel was not only given in word. It was also given in power, but introduces a strong contrast. Also introduces a second way in addition to that of in word, in which the gospel came unto the Thessalonian believers. In power may indicate by power, powerfully, or with power, and suggests that the word was very powerful. It may instead indicate that some miraculous events took place in order to convince these people in Thessalonica that the gospel was to be believed. The gospel was certainly powerful in the sense that it brought conviction of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. As a result, they repented of their sins and were converted. Paul wrote in Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." And introduces a third way the gospel came unto the Thessalonian believers. It is in the Holy Ghost, which may mean by means of the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brought the gospel to the Thessalonian believers through Paul, through Silas, and through Timothy. The Holy Spirit enabled them, meaning the Thessalonian people, to understand it and brought about their salvation, set them apart in Christ, and indwelled them for the rest of their lives. Another "and" introduces a fourth way in which the gospel came. It is in much assurance, and in may indicate with much assurance or by much assurance. Assurance is a full assurance or certainty. There was no question in these people's minds that the gospel was true and that it was the word of God. You went through that too. Somewhere along the line, you first heard the gospel and you believed it because you believed it was true. And it is true. They were certain regarding it and believed it was true. And by the way, we still do believe it's true. The Holy Spirit also assured them of the truth of the gospel message. In much assurance may instead indicate that accompanying signs or miracles were used to accredit the gospel when it was presented. Paul had the ability to work miracles. We don't know whether he did or didn't. However, in view of the fact that in word only, in power, and in the Holy Ghost all have to do with the proclamation of the gospel, it seems reasonable to conclude that in much assurance also refers to the proclamation of the gospel. Paul, Silas, and Timothy had preached the gospel in full assurance or with full assurance that if believed, it would result in the salvation of these people from their sins as well as from the consequences of their sins and would change their lives forever. That's exactly what we do here. We believe the gospel. We believe it will change a person's life if he believes it. We know it will. And every Bible-believing pastor, missionary, evangelist, or personal witness knows assuredly that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes it. As introduces a comparative clause, and it's understood in the sense of just as. Ye know, where ye is plural, refers to the Thessalonian believers. It is, you know, in the sense of you see, you perceive, or you recognize. What manner of is what sort of. Men does not actually appear in the Greek text, but it's clearly implied in the context. Just as you know what sort we were among you has reference to how Paul and likely also Silas and Timothy had behaved themselves or conducted themselves while among these believers in Thessalonica. For your sake is because of you or for the sake of you. It indicates that Paul and his traveling companions were very careful of their behavior among the Thessalonians so that they would not in any way hinder the gospel message. It suggests that believers should always be very careful of their testimony before the unsaved so that when they witness to them, their lives will back up what they say with their mouths. It speaks of the necessity of a proper lifestyle before the unbelievers. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And continues the thought of verse 5. It may instead be emphatic and understood in the sense of indeed, in fact, yea, verily, or certainly. Yea, you plural, refers to the Thessalonian believers and it's used for emphasis. Ye became suggests that they came to be something they had not been previously, just like you did when you got saved. Followers is imitators of us, indicates that they imitated or followed Paul and likely also Silvanus and Timothy as well. These Thessalonian believers did not have Bibles available to them, as believers in our country do today, to instruct them how they should live the Christian life. They only had the examples and teaching of Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, as well as the indwelling and guidance of the Holy Spirit. Yet it was all they needed. And of the Lord indicates that they not only became followers of Paul and his traveling companions, but that they also became followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. This was because of God the Holy Spirit's dwelling within them, beginning at the instant of their salvation. In his epistles, Paul consistently refers to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lord. The fact that the Thessalonian believers became followers of Paul, likely also of Silas and Timothy, and of the Lord, is a reminder that although believers might get others to follow them, they need to be careful to be following the Lord and not to be leading those following them astray by their lives. A believer's life and mouth must preach the same message. Remembering back about 65 years, maybe 70 years, I guess, when I was in college, it's not 70, can be quite that much, but when I was in college, I remember a question asked by an evangelist by the name of Paul Little in a chapel message. His question was, what is more important, a man's life or his message? He answered it by asking a second question. Which wing of an airplane is more important, the right one or the left one? Well, I've never desired to fly on an airplane with only one wing, okay? I know that some of these modern ones can do that, but I'd rather not be on it and try it out. Let somebody else experience it, as far as I'm concerned. Both wings of an airplane are equally important. Both a man's message and his life are equally important. If I don't live what I preach, why should you believe it? It's just as simple as that. You understand that. Inasmuch as Paul, Silas, and Timothy were following the Lord, the Thessalonian believers could follow the Lord at the same time they followed Paul, Silas, and Timothy. They were all going in the same direction. Excuse me, I am supposed to have that thing off, and somebody from Utah is trying to call me. I apologize to you. I forgot to turn it down, apparently, but here it is, right in the middle. I was preaching once in Utah. It was 8:30 almost. I was finishing the message, and I got a call from the East Coast, 10:30 out there. They thought I'd be done with prayer meeting. I wasn't. This is the second time I've been interrupted by my phone. I think I should get rid of my phone, okay? I will get rid of it for a few hours tonight. Just a few hours. Then you can call me tomorrow morning. One is reminded that Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11:1, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ, where he used the same term for followers that he uses in 1 Thessalonians 1:6. All the believers need to set an example for other believers. They are not really to be seeking disciples for themselves. Instead, they are to be seeking disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ. Remember Acts 20, verse 30, where Paul warned the Ephesian elders, also of your own selves shall men arise speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. It is not right for believers to seek their own following. Instead, they ought to be seeking a following for the Lord. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost, modifies became. The tense of having received indicates that its action occurred before the action of became, and it is used to indicate time and is understood in the sense of after you received. What they received was the word or the message by which the apostle means the gospel. In much affliction or with much affliction tells how they had received the word. Affliction literally means a pressing or a pressure. And when used figuratively, as in this verse, it means tribulation or oppression. It was with much affliction these believers were greatly persecuted after they trusted Christ as their Savior. They had received the word with joy of the Holy Ghost. Also indicates that how they had received the word, meaning the gospel. Joy of the Holy Ghost indicates joy produced by the Holy Spirit. These people were delighted by the fact that they had been saved in spite of the fact that their salvation had resulted in great persecution for themselves. Likewise, when we study the Word of God and we see what God has done for us, the Holy Spirit produces joy in us. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe in Macedonia and Achaia. Verse 7 introduces the result of what occurred in verses 5 and 6 when the gospel came to the Thessalonians not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, and also when they became followers of Paul, meaning of also of Silas and of Timothy and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So that suggests with the result that, and introduces what we call a result clause. Ye, as you plural, referring to the Thessalonian believers, ye were as you became. And it indicates something they now were, which they had not been previously. And samples is examples, patterns, molds, or models. To all that believe, not necessarily to the unbelievers, but to the believers in Macedonia and Achaia, indicates the group for whom these Thessalonian believers had become examples or patterns. It was to all the believers in the area of Macedonia, which contained cities like Neapolis, Philippi, Amphipolis, Apollonia, Thessalonica, and Berea. Not only were they examples of believers in Macedonia, which is northern Greece, they were also examples to the believers in Achaia, which is southern Greece, such as cities as Athens or Corinth. These Thessalonian believers were a pattern of people who would receive the word of God, who would endure affliction as a result of it, and who would at the same time experience the joy provided by the Holy Spirit. We also can be, as a church, examples of believers who love the Bible and who study it diligently. And God has changed us. For from you, in verse 8, sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, northern and southern Greece, but also in every place your faith to Godward or toward God is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. As indicated by 4, which is understood in the sense of because, verse 8 explains why the believers in Thessalonica were examples to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. From you implies away from you and indicates that they were the source of the word of God in this area, that the gospel began to be spread by the Thessalonian believers or by others who happened to pass through there and moved out from them. Sounded out is a word which came, or which means to cause to resound or to cause to be heard. When passive is in this verse, it means to be caused to sound forth or to ring out. Its perfect tense indicates that its action occurred in the past and that the result of its action has continued on to the present. It may be understood in the sense of, for from you has sounded out the word of the Lord. It was something which began when they were saved and continued until the time of the writing of this epistle. What was sounded forth was the word of the Lord, meaning the message of the Lord or the message about the Lord. It was the message mentioned in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 4, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel message in a nutshell. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, indicates that it was throughout all of Greece, both Macedonia or northern Greece as well as southern Greece or Achaia. As soon as the people in Thessalonica were saved, they apparently began to evangelize other areas in their region, just as the gospel had originally started in Jerusalem and was then spread throughout all Judea and then Samaria and then to the uttermost part of the earth. Remember Acts 1:8? We go over it every week. Ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. I know that some people like to preach that ye shall be witnesses is a command. It is not a command. It's a futuristic present. It's stating something that is going to happen, and it did happen. Here, the Thessalonian believers were spreading the gospel in the areas closest to them and were gradually moving away from the area of their own local church. It had only been a matter of weeks since they'd been saved before Paul wrote 1 Thessalonians. Similarly, believers should be spreading the gospel wherever they are and moving out into the surrounding territory so that eventually the gospel will make its way around the entire world. Well, not only was the word of the Lord sounded out in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward or toward God is spread abroad. But introduces a strong contrast. Also suggests that there were additional areas where the word of the Lord sounded out from Thessalonica. In every place is in each place. It's limited by your faith to Godward is spread abroad. Your faith is your belief or your trust. It refers to their faith, belief, or trust in Christ. Yours, plural, refers to the believers in the church of Thessalonica as a whole. Faith is particularly the faith which is to Godward, meaning toward God. It is the faith that they had placed in God and his word is spread abroad, has come out or has gone out. Its perfect tense indicates action completed in the past with its result continuing on. Thus, the word of God had spread out in many places from the church at Thessalonica, and as a result was in other geographical regions still giving forth an active testimony of what had transpired in Thessalonica. Word regarding their salvation and how it had changed their lives spread quickly to surrounding areas and beyond. This was aided by two facts. Thessalonica was a seaport city with ships coming and going to other seaports in the Mediterranean. And Thessalonica was also located on the Egnatian Way. It was the road the Romans had built, which made travel by land convenient. So that we do not need to speak anything provides the result of their testimony spreading throughout Macedonia, Achaia, and other places. So that is with the result that we need not, as we do not have need or necessity particularly to speak anything or to say anything. Need has been placed in a position of emphasis, which reads literally, so that need do we have, not need do we have to say anything. It means very simply, it was not necessary for Paul, Silas, or Timothy to go around telling people about the church at Thessalonica. The testimony of the Thessalonian believers and reports about them took care of this without Paul, Silas, or Timothy saying anything. This is remarkable in view of the fact that very little time had elapsed from the time Paul first entered Thessalonica until the time he wrote this epistle. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering we had in unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. They themselves refers to the inhabitants of Macedonia and Achaia who had heard the testimony of the church at Thessalonica. It would also refer to any other people where the testimony of the Thessalonian believers had spread. Themselves is an intensive pronoun placed first in the Greek text for emphasis, and it's to be connected with they. Show is report, announce, tell, or show, and its present tense indicates continuing or repeated action. They were constantly or repeatedly announcing this. Of us is concerning us or about us, or us may refer to Paul alone or may include his traveling companions. What manner of entering in we had unto you is what sort of entrance we had unto you, or what kind of entrance we had unto you. And it refers to the first appearance of Paul and his traveling companions in Thessalonica after they had been expelled from Philippi. Not only were these people hearing the testimony of the Thessalonian believers regarding Paul's entrance unto them, but they were also testifying concerning the change that occurred in the lives as believers. And introduces something else. How ye turned to God from idols indicates in what way you turned to God from idols, or that you turned to God from idols. How is in what way? Ye is you plural and refers to the Thessalonian believers. Turned is turned around or turned back. Its tense indicates that its action is contemplated as a whole. To God indicates the direction of their turn. They were heading in the direction of serving idols. They repented means they changed their minds about their idols and about God, and their change of mind was so thorough that it resulted in their turning around and going in the opposite direction. When they turned around, that's when they were converted. At this point in time, they were saved. The appears before God in the Greek text, indicating that it was not just any God to whom they turned, but that it was to God the Father, the God of the Bible, the God of Christianity, the God of heaven, the one and only true God. At the same time they turned to God, they also turned from idols. The appears before idols in the Greek text, indicating that it's the entire class of images, idols, or false gods from which the believers turned away. A genuine turning to God always results in a turning away from things contrary to or in opposition to Him. This change coincides with the entrance of God the Holy Spirit into their lives at the instant of their salvation. If there is no change, it brings the genuineness of their salvation into question. Admittedly, the change will immediately be more evident in older people than in young children who also get saved, but it's the same miraculous change that occurs in children when they get saved. It doesn't matter if they're only 4 or 5 years of age. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm thankful that I was one of those who was saved as a young child. From is away from. Although the Thessalonian believers had been worshiping and serving these idols, they now turned away from them to God. They did not just add God to the group of idols they were already worshiping. Instead, they turned to God exclusively and totally abandoned their idols. Some missionaries have encountered places like in Japan where people would just add God or Jesus to as one of their idols or one of their gods. That's not the way it's to be done. You turn to God exclusively and totally abandon the idols. To serve the living and true God indicates the purpose for which they turned away from their idols to God. It was to serve God, meaning to serve as slaves to God, or to be serving as slaves to God. And the present tense of serve indicates that its action is ongoing or continuous. Serving the living and true God is what they will be doing for the rest of their lives. To serve as a slave to God involves the voluntary surrender of the will to God whom they were serving. And this is what we as believers are called upon to do, to give our lives in full surrender to the Lord and to serve Him as His slaves. Now, this is not just any God, but He is described as the living and true God. He is God the Father, as is indicated by the fact that in verse 10, believers wait for His Son. He is the living God in that He ever lives. There has never been and never will be a time when God was not alive. But this is in contrast to idols of whom it could be said that there never has been and there never will be a time when they were alive. They are simply inanimate objects made of wood, stone, the stars, the planets, or something else. But these idols were never alive and will never be alive. At the same time, these idols represent demons whom people are actually worshiping, even though they may not realize it. True is used to describe the living God. He is true in the sense that He's genuine or real, and this is in contrast to the idols who were genuinely not real. They were false gods and could do nothing for those who worshiped them. And to wait for His Son from heaven, whom He raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Verse 10 continues to state the reason these believers in Thessalonica had turned to God from idols. It was to wait for His Son from heaven. To wait indicates purpose. It's understood in the sense of for the purpose of waiting for, or for the purpose of expecting. The present tense of wait for indicates that its action is ongoing. This is what they will be doing for the rest of their lives, or until such time as He returns for them. We who are believers are also waiting for the return of Christ at the rapture. Maybe it'll come this week. And then again, it wouldn't be the first week when He didn't come. He'll come. It's just a question of when. And He decides when that will be. His Father does. His refers to God the Father, and Son refers to the Lord Jesus. His Son is literally the Son of Him, and it's very specific. From heaven is out of the heavens, and refers to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ out of heaven. Thus it implies that Jesus is presently in heaven. Someday He's going to leave heaven and return for the believers. Whom refers to Jesus? He is God the Father, and raised literally means to wake or to rouse. When used figuratively, as in this verse, it means to raise up, and from the dead is literally out of dead ones or out from among dead ones. Thus, Jesus was at one time among dead ones, indicating that He was actually dead. However, He's been raised out from among this group, and thus He's no longer part of this group. Hence, He's alive. In case anyone wonders who this is that God the Father has raised from the dead, He is stated to be even Jesus. Even has been supplied by the translators, as indicated by the italics, in order to indicate that whom is used in reference to Jesus, or that Jesus is specifically the one who is intended by whom. Which delivered us from the wrath to come, refers to the Lord Jesus. Delivered is actually delivers. Its present tense indicates that this is a timeless truth, something that's always true. The King James translators have translated as a historical present. Which delivered is the one who delivers, the one who saves, the one who rescues, or the one who preserves unto us, indicates the ones whom the Lord Jesus delivered or delivers from the wrath to come, and refers to the Apostle Paul, Silas, Timothy, the believers in Thessalonica, and all believers everywhere. He delivers us from the wrath to come, is literally away from the wrath, the coming wrath. The present tense of coming indicates that this wrath is already on its way. Its coming is certain, and it's only a matter of time before it arrives. The wrath is the anger or the indignation, and it's not so much the emotion which comes as a result of an angry frame of mind as it is the divine reaction toward evil. Paul refers to it as the wrath, the coming wrath. By this, does he mean hell, the eternal consequence of sin? Or does he, in the context of 1 Thessalonians, mean the coming wrath that God is going to pour out on the world during the tribulation era? Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:9, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Here's my conclusion. Some people will disagree with me. It's their privilege to be wrong if they want to be. Now, I say that arrogantly, but the fact is, you don't have to agree with me to be right sometimes. To me, it seems to refer to both the tribulation and the lake of fire. At this time in his life, Paul was expecting the imminent return of the Lord. He was not concerned in this book with preparing believers to endure the coming tribulation. God would keep them from it rather than take care of them through it. Furthermore, God's greatest wrath will be experienced by the unbelievers when it's poured out on them in the lake of fire following the great white throne judgment. And we've come to the end of chapter 10. And next time I preach in prayer meeting, we'll go into chapter number 2. Let's pray, and then Jess will come and take care of our prayer requests. Our Father, thank you that we have this privilege of coming and studying thy word and praying. Help us to understand this section we've studied tonight in Jesus' name. Amen.